This is Ted Kennedy. The State Department and right-wingers in Congress are engaged in their annual spring ritual, bashing the United Nations. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, every spring, like swallows to Capistrano, you right-winger hawks come home to roost on the United Nations. You force the State Department to publish grossly misleading and distorted statistics on whether foreign countries vote for or against the United States in the world body. The problem, Al, is that these right-wing voting charts lump all UN votes together, regardless of their importance. After the outstanding support we receive from other nations for our policy in the Persian Gulf, you'd think those Republican hawks would back off and have the decency to allow an honest assessment of UN support for U.S. positions. No such luck, Al. You right-wingers never liked the UN, and you never will. You refuse to give up your UN bashing, even if it means embarrassing President Bush and his New World Order.
Ted, put away your comic books. Are we talking about the same UN that Republican George Bush and old right-wing James Baker used so effectively to rally international support against Saddam Hussein? If you really want to talk about UN bashing, why don't you talk about yourself and every other Democrat in Congress who voted against supporting the UN resolution to authorize force against Iraq? We all know that your vote against the UN was just to cover your caboose in case the Gulf War turned ugly. But all you really did was to show the whole world that the UN had more courage to stand against aggression than did the Democrats in Congress. Climb down from the old ivory tower, Ted. We right-wing Republicans have a lot of respect for what the UN stands for, and we help that great organization to strike a real blow for freedom. Ted, your lips are purple from chewing on those old sour grapes. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on the need to use nuclear power to help out the environment. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. Global warming, the ozone hole, and acid rain have some bright-eyed environmentalists reconsidering the use of nuclear power. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, at the moment, nuclear power accounts for only 20% of all electricity used in the United States, while France generates 75% of its electricity by harnessing the atom. The 116 American nuclear plants now in operation are safe and efficient. Nuclear power can reduce acid rain, help solve global warming, and relieve the ozone layer. Ted, I sure know an old fossil like you will want to stick up for fossil fuel, but we can't continue our crippling dependence on foreign oil while you ram your head in the sand and ignore an important fuel source to aid the environment.
Al, there's a hole in your ozone today. It's sad to see you turn into a nuclear nut. You're even losing touch with Wyoming. No nuclear plants there, Al. They must know something you don't. Granted, global warming, the hole in the ozone layer, and acid rain are increasingly serious threats to the environment. But nuclear energy is no answer to any of them. No nuclear power plants have been ordered in the United States since 1978, and over 100 plants have been canceled, including every plant ordered since 1973. And with good reason. Sound alternatives are available. With natural gas, clean coal, solar, and hydro, there's no need to go nuclear. The disaster at Three Mile Island in the 1970s put the handwriting on the wall, and the catastrophe at Chernobyl in the 1980s drove the point home. Read my lips, Al. Nuclear energy isn't safe. Let's not make it part of our energy future. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on students who default on college loans. It's time to crack down. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. Congress and the administration should crack down hard on fly-by-night trade schools, ripping off the federal student loan program. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, student loans backed by federal guarantees have made college available and affordable for millions of American students. They borrow for their education and then start repaying the loans when they graduate and have a job. So far, so good. The problem is that more and more students are defaulting on their loans. That means Uncle Sam is left holding the bag because the government is required by law to reimburse the lenders. In many cases, the problem is not the student's fault. Fly-by-night trade schools rip off students by promising training for good jobs, then fail to deliver halfway decent training. If students can't get jobs, they can't repay the loans. Defaults now cost taxpayers $3 billion a year. Let's give those sleazy schools a choice, Al. Shape up or close down.
Gadzooks, Ted. You're the guy in charge of drafting the new Higher Education Assistance Act for the next 5 years? Well, then go for it. The president and all of us Senate Republicans have been saying for years we ought to crack down on student loan defaults. By reducing the risk to the federal government and ensuring that schools meet certain standards, we can protect this valuable program. Most importantly, we can protect the opportunity it provides for needy students. In fact, Ted, the president wants to go far beyond just reforming the student loan program. He wants to direct resources to provide even more help to those students from families with the lowest incomes. Can we count on you being with us? Asleep at the switch again? Defaults don't just cost the taxpayers bucks, Ted. They cost our nation's youth a chance they really deserve. We led on that one long before you showed up to claim the credit. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off again Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. Should a luxury tax be applied to specially fitted out cars which allow disabled Americans to drive? In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, last fall when Congress worked out the budget agreement to reduce the deficit, you Democrats were so frenzied playing soak the rich that you guys blustered your way into soaking a number of disabled folks, too. Ted, you always push for excessive taxes on the rich. You know those folks. I don't. The only problem is that many disabled Americans require expensive, specially made automobiles which enable them to drive, custom cars which often cost over $30,000. Ted, we're not talking about Ferraris and Rolls Royces. I'm talking about vans with wheelchair lifts and other special devices that allow disabled folks to lead productive lives. Ted, spare me all of your ancient rhetoric about tax breaks for the rich. Just fess up that you blew it this time and join me in fixing up this mess that you helped to create.
Al, I'm with you 100%. We need to solve that problem. The luxury tax made sense as part of last year's budget deal between Congress and the administration. You signed off on it too, Al, remember? So much for no new taxes. The luxury tax applies to high-priced automobiles, yachts, and private planes. It's helping reduce the unfair burden of the tax laws on middle-income families after all those juicy Reagan tax cuts for the rich in the 1980s. But the tax on luxury cars was never intended to impose extra costs on persons with disabilities. Special lifts, doors, hand controls, and other expensive equipment to accommodate the disabled can push the sticker price on cars well above the $30,000 threshold for the luxury tax. Those items aren't luxuries, Al. They're necessities. They ought to be exempt from the tax. No Americans should be penalized by the tax laws because they're disabled. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off again tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. Democrats have a fairer way of cutting taxes and helping the middle class. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, you Republicans want tax cuts only for the rich. Your knees start jerking whenever President Bush talks about his pet rock, a capital gains tax cut for the rich. The Bush proposal would be a dream come true for Wall Street speculators and Americans who happen to be millionaires. But it's a nightmare for the middle class and working families. Their taxes are too high because the wealthy pay too little. Democrats have a fairer plan to cut taxes for long-suffering middle-class families. It was unveiled the other day by Senator Al Gore of Tennessee and Congressman Tom Downey of New York. It's called the Working Family Tax Relief Act. A family of four earning $20,000 a year gets a tax cut worth $1,000. Support it, Al. It's a lot fairer than cutting taxes only for the rich.
Pet rock. It's there above your neck. Stick to the facts, Ted. A family of four making $20,000 a year pays 15% in taxes now. Your Democrat plan would pile 15% on top of the 31% the wealthy already kick in. That's a total of 46%. Outrageous. Ted, that means some Americans would pay almost half their income in taxes. That is one scary thought for any American, rich or poor. The original income tax had three rates, 1, 2, and 3%. But since you didn't mention it, I will. In order to give a political tax break to families, $800 for each child under 18, you take away the $2,300 personal exemption for each dependent. What you give with one hand, you snatch away with the other, an old yellow dog Democrat trick. Ted, we Republicans have a better idea. Let's double the personal exemption, keep the tax rates down for all Americans, and cut spending and get everybody a tax break, even poor guys like you. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on the proposed free trade agreement with Mexico. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. President Bush is right smack on track when it comes to negotiating a free trade agreement with Mexico. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, President Bush wants Congress to give its blessing for a free trade agreement. Both countries have an awful lot to gain by opening their borders to more trade. We'll find receptive new markets for U.S. products while helping our southern neighbor Mexico to stabilize its economy. That's so much better than pouring billions in foreign aid right down the drain. Ted, there's also another real advantage. Right now, Mexico has weaker environmental laws than does the U.S. If Congress gets behind President Bush here, we can use this free trade agreement with Mexico to secure a real commitment from our friends south of the Rio Grande to stop certain practices and control their own pollution. Ted, don't blink from the AFL-CIO mashing on your head. Don't miss this one. It's darn good international business, good for relations, and it would be very environmentally savvy.
Sorry, Al. No sale here. The Bush administration has zero credibility with American workers. That's why the trade agreement with Mexico has become so controversial. All of us want to see progress in economic development in Mexico, but at what cost? How many American workers will lose their jobs to low-wage competition from runaway U.S. plants that move to Mexico? Does the administration know? Does it even care? Trust us, the administration says, but Congress has seen that shell game before. The administration keeps telling us, don't worry about the recession. It'll be short and mild. The truth is, it's been long and deep. This administration's pro-business, anti-worker record inspires no confidence. As Ronald Reagan liked to say, trust but verify. Free trade with Mexico? Sure, Al, but fair trade too. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on Supreme Court justices. Conservatives are activists too. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. The Rehnquist Supreme Court is legislating the law, not interpreting it. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, remember those years when you right-wingers were blasting the Supreme Court as a bunch of judicial activists? You accused them of usurping the power of Congress and legislating the law instead of just interpreting it. Presidents Reagan and Bush campaigned against liberal judicial activists and appointed conservative judges. Guess what, Al? The new judges are activists too, just like you said the old ones were. Only now, they're legislating conservative ideology into law. They did it again last month. The Senate's working hard on controversial legislation to limit appeals by criminals on death row. Did the Supreme Court wait for Congress? No. The justices went ahead and legislated tough new limits on their own. After all your blabber about judicial restraint and against judges who legislate, Al, how on earth can you justify what the justices did?
The old shoe's on the other foot, eh, Ted? Pinches, too, don't it? The point here is that there is nothing in the Constitution which says the Supreme Court has to wait for Congress to do things. You probably thought just because a justice is appointed for life that he has to wait that long for Congress to act. No, Ted. When Congress fails to do the nation's work, the Supreme Court has every right and duty to hear and judge cases completely independent of our legislative branch. Not only is this one classic example of why Congress should get off its duff, but it also shows what happens when the laws we pass don't jibe with the Constitution. And all too often in recent years, Congress has left too much slack, so the court has to move in and offer an interpretation. Don't blame the court, Ted. You and your buddies in the Democrat-controlled Congress are the ones doing all of the sloppy work. Why not help us get a good crime bill? This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on whether politically correct thinking actually destroys free speech. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. Does the latest rage on college campuses, PC, political correctness, actually violate the right of free speech? In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, America's a great place because its people have the chance to speak their minds. You and I, doing battle each day on face-off, is evidence of that. But it surely troubles me that so many college campuses, centers of debate, disagreement, dialogue, learning, are struggling with this twisted concept of political correctness. The practice of discouraging speaking out on no-no topics which are politically or socially sensitive. Ted, a free society simply cannot accept silence and censorship of subjects that peer pressure may label as taboo. Problems won't be solved without first talking about them in depth and passion. Let's not make some joke of the Bill of Rights. Let's make so certain that we leave room to listen to all opinions, especially those with whom we strongly disagree. The two of us should know that best.
Shame on you, Al. If they gave the Nobel Prize for political hypocrisy, you'd win hands down. Aren't you the same Al Simpson who joined the recent hysteria and tried to shred free speech in the Bill of Rights on the issue of flag burning? Where were all your noble ideals about the First Amendment and opposition to censorship and resistance to peer pressure when that debate was raging? You tried to amend the Bill of Rights for the first time in our history. Fortunately, Congress had the good sense to reject that insidious proposal. The typical Simpson double standard is alive and well in the debate over political correctness taking place on college campuses across the country. When it's right-wingers trying to silence dissent, you join the censors, Al, but you're quick to holler free speech when right-wingers on campuses are being criticized for their bigoted views. Free speech for everyone, Al, regardless of ideology. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off again Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. It's time for Congress to get serious about the dangers of tobacco. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, 434,000 Americans die every year from tobacco, and that's just smokers. The toll reaches 500,000 if we include deaths from what's called passive or sidestream smoke. Non-smokers inhaling the fumes of smokers. The Bush administration says smoking costs the country $52 billion a year. We all know what's going on. Public health is David without the slingshot fighting Goliath, the tobacco industry. Cigarette companies saturate the nation with advertising that's cynically created to overcome the negative publicity about tobacco and encourage Americans, especially the young, to start smoking and keep smoking. Give David a slingshot, Al. Give federal, state, and local governments the modest resources they need for a real nationwide education campaign about the dangers of smoking. Tobacco kills. It's time we made it public health enemy number one.
Ted, there you go again, thinking kids are too gullible not to know the difference. Give them a little credit for seeing the hazards of smoking and for being sharp enough to kick the habit, better yet, not to even start on the old cheroots at all. They know smoking is just not the way to go. Ted, maybe our generation thought smoking was cool, but these days the in thing is not smoking. After all, life is a lot cooler than death. Cigarette ads were tossed off TV years ago, and for all the millions of bucks spent each year to sell these putrid weeds, it must not make a dent in public opinion since sales have steadily dropped off for decades. Each pack carries a warning which point-blank tells the hazards of smoking. But more important than anything else, the public clearly supports the rights of non-smokers over smokers in the workplace, restaurants, and airplanes. More of us than them. Don't feel guilty about your habit. Just quit. I did. I'll be waiting upwind. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off again tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. The time has now come for the Soviets to turn their war machine engines into factories to help their own people. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, the Soviet military complex composes 40% of that nation's GNP. Compare that with 6% for the defense of the United States. The whole world knows the Soviet economy is sagging badly right now. Even more frightening is the ironic reality that the Soviets feel they must continue to make tanks, bombs, and fighters just to keep what's left of their ragged economy from completely falling apart. Ted, let's all encourage the Soviets to fashion those swords into plowshares. Tank factories can easily be converted to make cars. Radar installations could become TV stations, and computers built to track missiles could help to instead find cures for cancer. Ted, if we are really going to have a rallying cry of a farewell to arms, the Soviets have to first stop building more of them.
Dream on, Al. Unilateral disarmament won't sell in the Soviet Union any more than it will in the United States. Why not practice what you preach, Al? Just once, I'd like to hear you call for cuts in U.S. military spending. The Cold War's over, but old Al Simpson's beating the Cold War drums hard as ever for more MX missiles, more B-2 bombers, and even for a new $90 billion Air Force fighter called the F-22. Only people in their far right mind, not their right mind, think the country can afford that, Al. School's also out on new arms sales to the Middle East. The bullets have hardly stopped flying in the Persian Gulf, and we've already started peddling sophisticated new arms to nations in the region. If we keep spending on Star Wars, the Russians will too. Arms reduction is a two-way street. Ronald Reagan understood that, Al. Why can't you? This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off again tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. The House of Representatives has passed the Brady Bill, and President Bush wants to veto it. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, I know you're a mouthpiece for the National Rifle Association, but even you must be having second thoughts about the NRA after the dramatic vote in the House of Representatives to pass the Brady Bill. The bill requires a 7-day waiting period before handguns are purchased, so police can run background checks to make sure buyers don't have criminal records or mental illness. It's named after James Brady, President Reagan's press secretary, who was severely wounded in the attempt to assassinate President Reagan. The Brady Bill won't drive handguns off the streets, but it will help reduce them. That's why police officers want it. They know what's at stake, their lives. Yet President Bush says he'll veto it unless Congress passes other right-wing crime proposals. Stand up to the NRA, Al, and President Bush, too. Support the Brady Bill.
Ted, the hideous irony of the Brady Bill is that it would not have prevented John Hinckley, the madman who shot Jim Brady, from getting the gun he used in trying to murder President Reagan and my old friend Jim. Something else the Brady Bill doesn't do. It doesn't require a background check. It just gives officials the opportunity to conduct a check if they so desire. That's too superficial. Demand background checks. Ted, America is getting plenty sick of continual window dressing lawmaking by you Democrats, which makes you guys look like you're doing something for America when the truth is the bills you always push are too weak, too cosmetic, and too late. What's wrong with a good, tough crime bill, Ted? Let's really put the hammer down on crooks instead of giving them more rights than the victims they brutalize and abuse. Why protect those scum? This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on employment tests that automatically give minorities a higher score. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. Should eager job applicants have aptitude tests adjusted for the color of their skin? In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, last year you swore on a stack of Bibles that your civil rights bill was not a quota bill and quotas have no place in America. Bad news, buddy. Right now, minorities who take standard employment tests in 34 states are having their scores automatically adjusted above whites by as much as 40 percentage points, even if a white applicant receives the same raw score. Applicants and even employers are not told that the scoring has been doctored up. Instead of just predicting how an applicant might do on the job, employers are misled to think minorities have actually scored higher and will do a better job. Please tell me how that's not a quota. Ted, the law says you must not hire workers by race. So why is this nasty test scam called race norming used to discriminate? Think hard now, pal.
Nonsense, Al. The more you explain that problem, the more you don't understand it. Adjusting test scores by race or sex is sometimes the only way to compensate for bias in the test and make sure the results are fair. It's wrong to adjust scores when the tests are accurate, but it's not unfair if the tests are biased. What's unfair is to refuse to adjust the raw scores when you know the tests aren't accurate. Standard employment tests are a good example. For many jobs, the raw scores are notoriously poor predictors of successful job performance. For those occupations, blacks turn out to do better on the job than they do on the tests, and whites who score higher on the tests turn out to be poorer workers. If you were a businessman interested in the bottom line, Al, you'd hire the best workers too, even though they don't score the highest on some artificial employment test. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on the Kurdish refugees in Iraq. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. The rescue of the Kurds has been a brilliant success. We're almost out of the mountains. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, the U.S. Kurdish relief effort has been a brilliant success. No international relief agency could have performed so ably in so short a time. By making it a U.S. military operation, thousands of lives were saved. The only regret is so many lives were lost while we delayed the mission. If the administration had acted 10 days earlier, when it should have, at least 10,000 additional lives would have been saved. A major remaining problem is that Saddam Hussein's secret police are still operating in northern Iraq. Intimidation by the secret police continues. 100 secret police infiltrate each day to take names, gather information, and harass the Kurds. We expel them when we catch them, but their sinister activities are a serious threat to returning refugees. That's one more good reason, Al, to keep the sanctions on against Saddam.
Ted, if they gave college degrees for hindsight and sour grapes, you'd be a full professor by now. Instead of banging on Bush for not acting 10 days earlier, you should be giving the president all the kudos for the swift and brilliant moves he made to meet a disaster no one could ever foresee. We didn't hear you speaking out on this great problem during the last recess. Ted, all of us regret a single life lost, but let's remember that all of those dramatic predictions of yours about hundreds of thousands of Kurds dying on the mountainside never came true. And that's because of decisive action taken by the president and our troops before the UN ever acted. Really, Ted, you've got real gall. You fought our fine president every step of the way on Desert Shield and Desert Storm. It almost sounds like you're spoiling to try frantically to take credit for America's success now. Guess again, Ted. Better luck next time. You'll get it right. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off again Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. Should America revoke most favored nation trade status for China or maintain our current course? In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, all of us want China to change its ways. We want to see openness and freedom come to that nation which for so many decades had sadly repressed its people. But the big question is, will choking off trade with China force it to make the changes? Ted, if America really wants to press for a positive influence on China, slamming the door right in its face surely will not bring us closer. Let's not forget how we convinced China not to sell silkworm missiles to Iran in 87 when our Navy was patrolling the Gulf. Trade means cooperation and communication, Ted. Jerking the rug out from under China will only force it to seek new markets elsewhere. Ted, tear down that great wall around your mind. Countries want freedom when they have had a taste for it, not when they don't even know the difference from what they have.
Al, that's a preposterous justification for trading with China. Repression's okay, you say, as long as the victims of repression don't know any better. What you're really defending, Al, is the blood-soaked profits of American firms willing to do business with China, regardless of the brutality of the regime. You were against U.S. economic sanctions against apartheid in South Africa, so it's hardly surprising that old Al Simpson sides with dictators in China, too. The massacre in Tiananmen Square in 1989 and the continuing repression since then are good reasons to go slow on U.S. trade with China. Instead of rushing to embrace that regime to improve business profits, we ought to use our trade to improve conditions in China. That means progress on human rights and participation by China in international efforts to halt the proliferation of nuclear weapons. Trade with China? Yes, Al, but not at any price. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on that 1980 deal to delay the release of our hostages. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. Let's get to the bottom of those allegations about a Republican campaign deal in 1980 to delay the release of our hostages by Iran. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, where there's smoke, there may be fire, and those allegations erupting about a deal with Iran to influence the 1980 elections are creating too much smoke to ignore. The Reagan presidential campaign that year was paranoid about an October surprise. They feared President Carter would snatch victory from defeat by securing the release of our hostages from Iran. Now suggestions have mounted that William Casey or others in the Reagan campaign made an unconscionable deal with the leaders of Iran to postpone the release of the hostages until after the election in return for the sale of weapons to Iran. The allegations are serious and they deserve to be looked into. If you won't join in supporting a fair and impartial investigation, Al, at least stand back and let the investigation go forward.
Ted, I would honestly think that someone who has been the victim of so much vicious and stupid rumor-mongering would not want to indulge in it himself. More smoke and mirrors? Ted, come on. Congress spent over $35 million investigating the Iran-Contra affair. Just because you didn't like the results doesn't mean the committee didn't get to the truth, which was rather boring stuff. Ted, the truth was pretty simple. Ronald Reagan was a man of direct action. He knew darn well some of the reasons that Jimmy Carter hadn't been able to get the hostages back. If any contact was made with Iran during the election of 1980, it was to send a plenty strong signal that America would not tolerate the hostage crisis after electing Ronald Reagan. Iran must have received that message loud and clear, Ted, since the hostages came proudly home on Inauguration Day. I'd say that was very effective leadership, something you Democrats severely lack. Jealous? This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I face off next on a law to force car makers to sacrifice safety for greater fuel economy. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. Congress wants to force all automakers to achieve greater fuel economy, even at the sacrifice of safety. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, you still never met a federal regulation you didn't like. Now you want to raise the average fuel economy of cars from 27 miles a gallon to over 40 miles a gallon. It's going to be a real dogfight between federal law and the law of physics. Ted, even Isaac Newton could tell you that for every action, there's a reaction. In this case, stricter fuel standards will force Detroit to build lighter, cheaper cars that will surely sacrifice safety. Sure, you'll save a couple of gallons of gas, but the price will be paid in human life. The Department of Transportation estimates that downsizing of cars would result in 2,000 additional auto deaths and 20,000 more injuries per year. Ted, let's hope an apple falls on your noggin before it's too late. It would make apple butter. Wise up to safety is smarter.
Al, you're not firing on all cylinders. You fell hook, line, and sinker for those warmed-over arguments of the gas guzzlers. They've cried wolf before. They thought the world was coming to an end in the 1970s, when all Congress did was require cars to get better mileage after the Arab oil embargo. Detroit met that challenge. From an average 13 miles a gallon in 1974, the figure rose to 27 miles a gallon now. As we learned in the Persian Gulf, excessive dependence on foreign oil threatens national security. We don't declare war on every two-bit dictator, just those who threaten our oil supply. Don't be fooled by the auto industry scare figures, claiming that better gas mileage will make cars too small to be safe. According to Ralph Nader, mileage doubled since 1974, but traffic fatalities dropped 40%. Detroit can build safe and efficient cars, Al, but not until Congress tells them to do so. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on those giant trucks endangering our highways. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. Is Senator Al Simpson ready to crack down on giant trucks plaguing our highways? In a moment, we'll find out on Face Off. Al, few things are more terrifying on our interstate highways than being passed at 65 miles an hour by one of those behemoth trucks called doubles or triples. Trucks pulling two or three huge trailers that weigh up to 70 tons, a third of a football field long. The experts call them LCVs, longer combination vehicles, but the L really stands for lethal. Trucking firms like them because they mean higher profits. The railroads are against them because they fear the competition. Those arguments miss the point, Al. The issue isn't just truckers against railroads. What about John Q. Public? Those giant double and triple trailer rigs don't belong on the road. They're dangerous to operate, and they tear up the highways. Long overdue legislation is finally moving in Congress to restrict them. Vote for it, Al, and make the highways safer for families on the road.
Ted, instead of a truck full of raw emotion, why not treat the gentle listeners to some facts? In 89, there was only one fatality related to a triple-trailer truck, and that was caused by a drunk driver in a car. The year before, there were four fatalities due solely to triple-trailers. Compare that to 8 deaths from skiing, 800 deaths from railway crossing accidents. When you weigh this hot issue just on the facts, you should have told us that since 77, multi-truck fatalities have been reduced by 40%. Ted, the reason trucks are safer now than they were 10 years ago is because Congress cracked down on abuse of commercial driver's licenses and stepped up roadside inspections. And let's not just ignore that those fees and taxes from truckers contribute $8 billion a year to build and repair highways that all Americans enjoy. Ted, get your hands off the wheel and stop driving me crazy. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on the 30-year anniversary of Amnesty International. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System.